Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Wednesday at 7:00, we have midweek services here. Next week, on Sunday, we have our last joint service together for a while. Fifth Sunday. And I believe we do the Athanasian Creed on the fifth Sundays. So, if you haven't had time yet, it takes about 8 minutes to read through it. But I have a student who timed it the first time. It takes 8 minutes. So you're fast. Anybody else have announcements? Yes.
Yes. Joint council meeting next Sunday after church service.
Okay.
At Emmanuel.
Okay. Anybody else?
Choir practice at 6:00 on Wednesday before the Lenten service.
I have a notebook with the, if you want to get the treasury of daily prayer, I have that sitting back there. I think we're sitting at about 13. We get another 10 or 15% discount if we do 25. So I'll talk to a couple of the people on the council to see if we can just order 25 and then we can sell them to people as they want them. Order of service is page 15. We'll begin singing our first hymn, 590.
Thank you. name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart to confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God,
merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I am grateful for thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy and innocent bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
On this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. My eyes are ever toward the Lord.
For he shall help my feet on the land.
Turn to me and be gracious to me.
For I am lonely and afflicted.
To you, O Lord,
I lift up my soul.
O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame.
Let not my enemies exalt over me.
The trouble of my heart are enlarged.
Bring me out of my distress.
Consider my affliction and my trouble.
And forgive all my sins.
O guard my soul and deliver me.
Let not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you.
My eyes are ever toward the Lord.
For he shall put my feet out of the net.
Turn to me and be gracious to me.
For I am lonely and afflicted.
Thank you.
O God, whose glory is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith, to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our confessional reading this morning is from the Office of the Keys. What sins should be confessed?
Before God, we should plead guilty of all sins, even of those which we do not know, as we do in the Lord's Prayer. But before the pastor, we should confess only those sins which we know and feel in our hearts.
The Old Testament reading is written in the 8th chapter of Exodus, beginning with verse 16. So the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land, so that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt." And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and struck the dust of the earth, and it became lice on man and beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Now the magicians so worked with their enhanced enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had said. And the Lord said to Moses, "Rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water. Then say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants, on your people and into your houses. The houses of all the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground in which they stand. And in that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. I will make a difference between my people and your people. Tomorrow this shall be the sign.' And the Lord did so. Thick swarms of flies came into the house of Pharaoh, into the servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted because of the swarms of flies." Here endeth the Old Testament reading. We continue with our gradual. Arise, O Lord, do not let man prevail.
Let the nations be judged in your sight.
When my enemies turn back,
they shall fall and perish at your presence.
The epistle reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Ephesus, the 5th chapter, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Here endeth the epistle reading. We continue with the tract. To you I lift up my eyes.
O you who are enthroned in the heavens.
Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master,
so our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he has mercy upon us.
Have mercy upon us, O Lord.
Have mercy upon us.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel is written in the 11th chapter of St. Luke, beginning with the 14th verse. And he was casting out demons, a demon, Jesus was, and it was mute. So it was, when the demon had gone out, that the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled. But some of them said, he casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. Others, testing him, sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to a desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan is also divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own place, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted, and divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest. And finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it happened as he spoke these things, that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you, and the breasts which nursed you. But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. This is the gospel of the Lord. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one
God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for our sin and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who in the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who is saved by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our hymn 258. Thank you.
grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Today's text that we will focus on will be from Luke 11. Whoever is not with me is against me. And as Jesus said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you, and the breasts which you nursed." Now I find it very fitting that this woman shouted out this praise to the Virgin Mary. It fits well, because today is March 23rd. That means Tuesday is March 25th. And in 9 months, you will be celebrating Christmas, the birth of your Lord Jesus Christ. Traditionally, the church has observed March 25th as the feast of the Annunciation of our Lord, when the angel Gabriel announced to the Virgin Mary that she would bear the Christ child. Dear saints in Christ, it is fitting that this woman mentions the Virgin Mary because of the stark contrast between the words spoken about Jesus by the angel Gabriel to Mary when he told her she would be the mother of the Lord. And then the words spoken about Jesus here by these scoffers, some who had just witnessed Jesus cast out a demon from a man, they said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebub." Beelzebub means Lord of the Flies. It is a title for Satan. Essentially, a belittling title for Satan, insinuating that he isn't all that powerful or that he isn't all that dangerous. He's just a king fly on top of a dung heap. Nevertheless, how does Gabriel, the messenger from God, describe Jesus to Mary? He says, "He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and by the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Oh, how these people were wrong about Jesus. Jesus doesn't work miracles by the help of some fly lord. No. Jesus is the Most High Son of Heaven. He has a kingdom that will last forever. He comes to sack Satan's kingdom and to divide his spoil. Jesus works by the finger of God, the Holy Spirit. This is the same power God showed over Pharaoh of Egypt. By mocking Jesus in this way, they are mocking the very God of heaven. Nevertheless, these mockers were not only wrong about Jesus, they were also wrong about Satan too, whom they cutely called Beelzebub. You see, Satan isn't some fly lord buzzing around causing you minor irritations. No, Satan is the archenemy of God's kingdom. Satan comes from the Hebrew for adversary. He is God's adversary. He caused your first parents to fall into sin, plunging the entire human race into death. Jesus calls him a murderer, the father of lies. He should not be underestimated. Rather, as St. Peter warns, be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. You see, Satan hates you. Satan wants to cause you pain. Now, God might let you suffer pain for a while for your own good. Satan wants to harm you. Satan wants to harm your body, and he wants to harm your soul. He enjoys suffering. That's why he caused that poor man to suffer muteness. He leads people into sin. He lies. He sees where you are weak and what simple desires you struggle to keep at bay. And he strikes. He entices you with sweet words, with perfect logic, with forgetfulness, wrath, lust, laziness, selfishness. And he does all this in order just to draw you away from Christ. Satan's kingdom and Jesus' kingdom are completely opposed to each other. Jesus speaks plainly. Whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. You can't be neutral in the war between Satan and Jesus. You must be opposed to sin, or you are against Christ. You must be against false teaching and false worship, or you are against Christ. A person cannot be against Satan, but neutral on Jesus. You see, you're either in Jesus' camp, or you are in Satan's camp. Now this hurts people's feelings, and understandably. Who wants to think that they or someone they love is in Jesus' camp? I mean, isn't that a bit extreme? Well, it is the truth that you must acknowledge about your sinful condition. The Holy Spirit caused St. Paul to write to the Christians in Ephesus, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among you, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. You see, by nature, you were all born in the clutches of Satan because of your sinful condition inherited by your fathers. You are the spoils guarded so diligently by the strong man Satan. Yet when the stronger man comes, he overpowers Satan and he divides his spoils. St. Paul continues, "But God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Saints of Christ, how did Jesus, the strong man, go about plundering Satan and rescuing you from his clutches? You know the account. He became a human being in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He hid his divine glory and submitted to his parents. He loved his neighbors. He fulfilled God's law perfectly. And then, bearing the sins of the whole world, he died. God crushed him for your sake. On earth, this seemed like a disappointing end. A man who seemed to be something turned out to be nothing. Perhaps he was just using tricks from the old dung heap king, Satan. But no. As women watched with tear-soaked eyes, Jesus yielded up his breath and bowed his blood-soaked head in death. A great battle in heaven was being won. In chapter 12 of St. John's Revelation says, "Now war arose in heaven. Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated. for there's no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. You see, Satan was cast down and defeated by the blood of Jesus. Now he who lures you into sin, and who accuses you day by day and night by night before God, has been cast down. So he is silenced, because God has washed away your sins in Jesus' blood. And Christ, having been raised from the dead, gives eternal life to you too, whose sins he has washed away. Nevertheless, Satan is still very dangerous. He still prowls around like a ravenous lion. He still can and still will lure you into sin. But he cannot accuse you who are in Christ Jesus of sin before God. God has forgotten your sins, has removed them as far as the east is from the west. So when you repent of your sins, God eliminates your guilt with Jesus' blood. Knowing all of this, it should be well understood that you cannot then enter into league with Satan in any way. You must oppose Satan. You are not neutral. You are solidly on Jesus' side, and you want absolutely nothing to do with Satan. You heard about the war in heaven, but you did not see it. You've all heard and read of the crucifixion of Christ, which conquered Satan for you. Yet none of you actually witnessed it or know anyone who did. But you have been baptized. And even if you do not remember it, you likely know or have known someone who does. And every time a baptized person, you remember that the same thing happened to you. Those words of God were spoken to you. In baptism, Jesus plunders Satan. God, through the power of his holy word, joins you to Christ's victory in the cross. He pulls you out of Satan's grasp. He washes away your sins. He makes you alive in Christ Jesus. In baptism, God saved you. Not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In baptism, God took out of Satan's stronghold and placed you into the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom that the angel Gabriel tells you will never end. This means that you are now a sworn enemy of Satan. At your baptism, you were asked, do you renounce the devil? Do you renounce all his works? Do you renounce all of his ways? And to each of these questions, you or your sponsors answered, yes, I renounce them. You are on Jesus' side. You are Satan's enemy. Still, many are confused by the gospel, because God freely forgives your sins for Jesus' sake, apart from your works. And even if sin were to increase, grace abounds all the more by your loving God to forgive you. So people wonder, why not just go on sinning? Well, St. Paul answers this very question in the 6th chapter of his letter to the Christians in Rome. By no means. How can we who have died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we might walk in newness of life. You see, baptism has changed you. Yes, you will still fall into sin. No one living does not sin, even those baptized into Christ. But baptism means that you will repent of sin and trust in Christ for forgiveness. Yet it is possible to reject your baptism. You do not remain in your baptism by simply trying to live a good life. Remain in your baptism by remaining in Jesus. When an evil spirit is cast out of a man, which is more or less what happened to you in your baptism, the evil spirit passes through waterless places, seeking some place to rest. But then finding none, the evil spirit returns home. And if he finds that it has been swept clean, that it has been put in order, that it is empty, then it brings seven more spirits that are even more evil than he is. So the last state of that person is worse off than the first state. That is what happens to those who are baptized, do not continue to hear, and do not continue to learn the words of Christ. Being baptized will not save you if you reject the words of Christ and refuse to hear and cherish it. Baptism saves you through faith, even as the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ save only those who believe. It is a false notion that you can be saved simply by being baptized without continuing to cling to Christ. You see, there is no neutral ground. Baptism places you on Christ's side, but if you do not remain on Christ's side, if your heart is empty of Christ, then you are on Satan's side once again. Dear saints in Christ, the woman blessed Jesus' mother for being the mother of a great man. I think that was very nice of her. That wasn't the gospel. Jesus says, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Yes, Mary certainly was blessed to be the mother of the Lord. That's not the greatest blessing. Mary's greatest blessing is your greatest blessing, the Word of God. The Word of God tells you that Jesus fought a mighty battle, shed much blood, and even overcame death to save you. He rescued you from the clutches of Satan's kingdom and placed you soundly in a kingdom that has no end, where peace and righteousness and love endure. You are blessed if you guard these words as your precious treasure. You are blessed by guarding these words, the very gospel. You are guarding them for eternal life. And by God's grace, through your baptism, through the continued hearing of the gospel, yes, by the very finger of God, you will keep these blessings forever. Amen.
Amen.
And all the grace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds and faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
We continue with the offertory.
Presence and take my life, O Lord.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, guard the souls of your people against the devil and his angels who afflict this world. Arm your Christians with spiritual weapons. Sharpen their tongues with the words of Christ. And overthrow all the power of the devil. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that Christ has disarmed the devil and liberated us by his blood, bringing us into his ranks together with all the saints. Preserve all Christians in the faith until life's end. Do not permit anyone to abandon or blaspheme your Spirit's work in the forgiveness of sins. Turn us in brotherly love toward one another to live always according to God's holy will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, you call us to live in purity and holiness. Protect and guide Christian families to love and seek chastity and decency, learning to grow in virtue and in all godly living. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, our defender, direct the hearts of our leaders and teach them to respond faithfully to the dangers and disasters that arise. Lead them to humble themselves under your hand and to serve their people sacrificially. Lord, in your mercy,
hear
our prayer. Lord, remember those who suffer. Grant comfort, aid, healing, and peace to the sick in their afflictions. Grant courage and steadfastness to the dying as they near the end of their earthly lives. And be with those who struggle with adversity and sorrow. We especially remember before you today Roger, Sarah, Helen, Rod, Bev, Carlene, Carol, Pastor Mo, Denny, Ruth, Janet, Roger, Micah, Lincoln, Eric, Rachel, Deanna, Brianna, Chuck, Gordon, Pastor Fish, Mary, the Vicar Langton family, and the Leslie family. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Gracious Lord, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Chuck continually by your word and spirit, that he may faithfully keep the covenant in which he has been called, boldly confessing his Savior, and finally share with all your saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, Holy Father, grant unity to your church in her doctrine and life. Bless our communion this day, that from Christ's true body and blood our faith may be strengthened and our love for one another increased. Accept our sacrifice of thanksgiving and the tithes and offerings we bring in response to your goodness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
O God, our sword and shield, whose mighty finger drives out all the powers of darkness, fight for us, your people, cast out the devil, sweep clean our souls and fill our hearts with your Holy Spirit, that we may also fight the good fight of faith and dwell securely in your kingdom of light. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to take up our flesh, that he might overcome the devil and defend us poor sinners against the adversary. We thank you that for your merciful aid and implore you to attend us with your grace in every temptation. Preserve us from carnal security, and by your Spirit keep us in your word and fear, that we may be delivered from the enemy and obtain eternal salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with the communion hymn.
Thank you.
included in your answer, in your bulletin. After confession, instruction, and the Ten Commandments, the Creed of the Lord's Prayer, the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, the pastor may ask, or Christians may ask themselves, these questions. Do you believe that you are a sinner?
Yes, I believe it. I am a sinner.
How do you know this?
From the Ten Commandments, which I have not kept.
Are you sorry for your sins?
Yes, I am sorry that I have sinned against God.
What have you deserved from God because of your sins?
His wrath and displeasure, temporal death and eternal damnation.
Do you hope to be saved?
Yes, that is my hope.
In whom then do you trust?
In my dear Lord Jesus Christ.
Who is Christ?
The Son of God, true God and man.
How many gods are there?
Only one, but there are three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
What has Christ done for you that you trust in him?
He died for me and shed his blood for me on the cross for the forgiveness of sins.
Did the Father also die for you?
He did not. The Father is God only, as is the Holy Spirit, but the Son is both true God and true man. He died for me and shed his blood for me.
How do you know this?
From the Holy Gospel, from the words instituting the sacrament, and by his body and blood given to me as a pledge in the sacraments.
What are the words of institution?
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Do you believe then that the true body and blood of Christ are in the sacrament?
Yes, I believe it.
What convinces you to believe this?
The word of Christ, "Take, eat, this is my body. Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood."
What should we do when we eat his body and drink his blood, and in this way receive his pledge?
We should remember and proclaim his death and the shedding of his blood as he taught us. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
Why should we remember and proclaim his death?
First, so that we may learn to believe that no creatures can bring any satisfaction for our sins. Only Christ, true God and man, can do that. Second, so we may learn to be horrified by our sins and to regard them as very serious. Third, so we may find joy and comfort in Christ alone. And if we faith in him,
what motivated Christ to die to make full payment for your sins?
His great love for his Father and for me and other sinners. As it is written in John 14, Romans 5, Galatians 2, and Ephesians 5.
Finally, why do you wish to go to the sacrament?
That I may learn to believe that Christ, out of great love, died for my sins, and also learn from him to love God and my neighbor.
What should admonish and encourage a Christian to receive the sacrament frequently?
First, both the man and the promise of Christ our Lord. Second, his own pressing need, because of which the command, encouragement, and promise are given.
But what should you do if you are not aware of this need and have no hunger and thirst for the sacrament?
To such a person, no better advice can be given than this. First, he should touch his body to see if he still has flesh and blood. Then he should believe what the scriptures say of it in Galatians 5 and Romans 7. Second, he should look around to see whether he is still in the world, and then remember that there will be no sin in trouble, as the scriptures say in John 1 John 2 and 5. Third, he will certainly have the devil also around him, who with his lying and murdering day and night will let him have no peace, within or without. As the scriptures picture him in John 8 and 16, 1 Peter 5, Ephesians 5, and 2 Timothy 2.
Please rise as we continue with the service of sacrament.
The Lord be with you.
And salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat. The true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat. The true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat. The true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat. The true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Thank you.
Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat. The true body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, eat. The body of Christ.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
And pray in the common table prayer and returning thanks. Come, Lord
Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed.
Amen.
O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up thy countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Okay.